Hebrews chapter number 10. We'll begin reading at verse 5, where we started at last time. Read through verse 18, which I hope we'll get through tonight. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he, Christ, cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And that's God's word, and all God's people said. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that as we look at it more closely tonight, that you would help us. That you would give us clarity and understanding, that we may receive it with joy, that it will do a great work in our hearts, that we will see, that we would rejoice, that we would joy in the fact that the sacrifice that Christ has made for us is impeccable. It is perfect. And we look for nothing else. The work of Christ for us is a complete work, and we thank you for it. And as we examine it tonight, remind us of those truths and help us simply to joy in the fact that we are the children of God. And we are the children of God by the work of Christ on the cross. Thank you. We praise you tonight. Help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The problem that all of us have is a problem that we cannot fix ourselves. Our problem is a sin problem. It's not that we fail to live up to our potential. It's not our problem. Our problem is all of our thoughts are sinful. All of our desires are sinful. Our motives are sinful. Our actions are sinful. The Bible says, evil comes from our hearts. So we are internally and we are fully flawed. We are flawed people. The Bible says we are slaves to sin and we are dead to righteousness. We are all terrible sinners in rebellion against God, which means that we sin, which means that we die because the wages of sin is death, and finally we are condemned because God holds us accountable for our sins. And to the average person, those things have absolutely no interest to them. They're not interested in that. The average person does not want to hear that. They want to hear, what can they do to be better? What can they do to do better? They want to hear, how can they improve their self-esteem? They want you to give them something to do or tell them something they need to quit doing. But I don't think that you're average people. I think you know that we are terribly messed up. And that external measures are useless. And that you are interested in the fact that God has initiated this rescue mission for us. External measures, whatever they may be, cannot ever change our hearts. You can straighten up and fly right, it won't change your heart. I think that you tonight are interested in hearing about how sinners who cannot save themselves are somehow miraculously saved. It's a wonder that sinners who cannot save themselves are yet miraculously saved. And I think this rescue mission by God is such a wonderful truth and such a wonderful reality that you just never get tired of hearing it. It's not what we do or don't do that is the problem. Our hearts are the problem. Our hearts are the problem. And only God can solve the problem. We talk about all the things that people do today. Guess what? People were still sinning before they had all these things to do. The problem is not external things. The problem is our hearts. And only God can change our hearts. So the text that we have been looking at, we began a couple of weeks ago, is discussing the contrast between the old covenant priesthood of continual sacrifices and the work of Christ on the cross on our behalf. The contrast between those two, Old Testament sacrificial works, New Testament in the blood of Christ. And what we Saul, from the writer of Hebrews, is that the Old Testament sacrifices were all found to be ineffective. But the work of Christ is not ineffective. Matter of fact, the work of Christ is impeccable. So in the text before us, the writer of Hebrews is detailing for us the reasons why the work of Christ is impeccable. And there are seven reasons given here why the work of Christ is impeccable. And last time we were together, we were able to look at two of them. Let's recap and then we'll move forward. Firstly, we saw that the work of Christ on the cross in our behalf was impeccable because it fulfilled the ultimate and eternal will of God. We saw that in this phrase, "A body hast thou prepared for me." A body thou hast prepared for me. Now, the sacrifices of the Old Testament could never ever do the job that is required for the salvation of sinners. Not fully and not permanently, right? And we found out that God really never intended for the Old Testament sacrifices to do that job. They were only a shadow of the reality that would be fulfilled in the work of Christ. So, Old Testament writings said that a body God has prepared for Christ. So God prepared a body for the incarnation of Christ. That body that Christ would receive would be a body that would do the will of the Father, be obedient to the Father. And Jesus came, took that prepared body, became a willing servant to do whatever God wanted him to do as long as he lived. Even go and die on the cross. So this, Christ coming in a human body, obeying God, going to the cross, was God's plan for salvation all along. Secondly, the work of Christ on the cross in our place is impeccable because the work of Christ replaces the entire priestly sacrificial system. Now, he says here, I come to do thy will. And then in verse 8, he says, he taketh away the first, which is the Old Testament sacrifices. He removes them, takes them away, does away with them, so that he may what? He may establish the second, which is the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. So the writer of Hebrews understands that what God is doing is removing the first, removing the Old Testament sacrifices so that he may establish and put on firm grounds the second. So the old system has been eliminated because a better priest and a better sacrifice and a better covenant has been put in its place. And that is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where we got to last time we were together, just to help you remember, because I know I can't remember what I did yesterday. So now we're ready to move forward to the third reason that the work of Christ is impeccable. And the third reason is because the sacrifice of Christ on the cross sanctifies the believer. Verse 10, by which will we, talking about the sacrifice of Christ, the second sacrifice that replaces the first, by His sacrifice, we, those of us who are saved, are then sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Now, to be sanctified means to be set apart. It means to be set apart from sin and to be set apart to God. To be set apart from sin and set apart to God. It is the process by which God is making us holy or more like Christ. And so what the writer here is saying is that the crucifixion of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the substitution of Christ on the cross secures for the believer, you hear, secures for every believer a continual and ongoing work of salvation in a believer's life. Let me help you. That means that if we are truly converted, we will be sanctified. Christ secured that on the cross. so that if I am truly saved, there will be a continual ongoing work of salvation in my life called sanctification. You with me? Now, animal sacrifices couldn't do that. No animal sacrifice could separate the sinner from his sin. No animal sacrifice could make a man holy. That is something only God can do, and God did it by the sacrifice of Christ. No man can be made holy by a sacrifice of a lamb or a bull or whatever. No matter how many religious activities, no matter how many religious works we engage in, they cannot make us holy. And all the best works of the Levitical system couldn't do it. But by the death of Christ, we who trust Christ as Savior and Lord are sanctified, are set apart from sin, and set apart to God. The Bible says this: without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Somebody help me. And nothing can make us holy except the sacrifice of Christ. Through faith in Christ, we are being made holy because His body was offered up for us once and for all. So when God looks at us as believers, He does not look at us like the rest of the world. We are no longer what we previously were. Say amen. We are in Christ holy because Christ has won God's pleasure with His perfect obedience in laying down His life for us. I'm sanctified because Jesus gave His all once and for all. Amen? And for us to say that you can be saved and then you can be lost, that you can be a child of God today and not a child of God tomorrow, is a terrible indictment on the ineffectiveness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, it's not ineffective, it's impeccable. Fourthly, the fourth reason why the sacrifice of Christ on the cross is impeccable is because the sacrifice of Christ actually, really takes away our sin. Every priest, every one of them, everyone. What do priests do? They stand. And they stand how often? Daily. And what do they do standing daily? They minister and they offer. Oftentimes the same sacrifices. Lambs, bulls, goats. And none of these sacrifices that they have offered daily while they were standing could ever take away sins. You see that? But this man, Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did He do? He sat down. He seats. Priests stand. He seats on the right hand of God. Why did the priest have to repeat their work daily? Why did they have to give sacrifices over and over, day after day? Because they could never eliminate sins. So they had to repeat it. And 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 it never provided a finality. It never provided a final and ultimate provision for sin. But Jesus, the Son of God, in the body that God prepared for Him, went to the cross, offered Himself as the sacrifice in our place. He did it one time for all time, and then He sat down. Which meant it's done. Which means, in this context, doesn't have to be repeated. It's unrepeatable. The accomplishment of Christ in dying on the cross and taking our sins upon Himself and away from us is not only something that cannot be repeated, it doesn't need to be repeated because He removed our sins once and for all. There's no further need for sacrifice because Christ removed all of our sins. Say amen. What sins are left with me? None. None. He has, by one sacrifice, taken away all our sins forever and has sat down at the right hand of God and says, it's done. Number five. The fifth reason why the sacrifice of Christ on the cross in our place is impeccable is because in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, all of the enemies of God have been defeated. Say amen. Now you name all the enemies of God, and I'm here to tell you that when Christ died on the cross, He defeated all of them. So what is Christ doing sitting on the right hand of the Father? Well, we know He's interceding for His saints, and we know He's expecting His enemies to be made His what? His footstool. On the cross, every enemy of God has been overpowered, and that is accomplished in the sacrifice of Christ. His sacrifice is perfect because it does what all the Old Testament sacrifices could never do, and that was defeat the enemies of God and bring them under the sovereign feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is coming a day when, having already bruised Satan's head on the cross, He is coming to cast Satan, all of his unholy angels, all ungodly men, into the eternal lake of fire. Say amen. That is a done deal, done on the cross. Amen? Number six. The sixth reason why the sacrifice of Christ is impeccable is because it perfects His saints. It perfects His saints. Verse 14. For, because by one offering He, Christ, hath what? Perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Or, we could say this. What Christ did on the cross over 2,000 years ago has a never-ending effect on those who believe. The work of Christ on the cross, its effects are unending. The word perfected here means to complete an activity, to bring to an end, to finish, to accomplish. What did Christ do on the cross? The writer of Hebrews says that He perfected forever them that are sanctified. So the work of salvation, the work of Christ, is a complete work. And it is a sure work. That if I am converted and I am sanctified, there's one day I'm going to be glorified. My salvation will come to a full finality. Say amen. There's no reason to worry about that. Well, what happens if this happens? Or what will transpire if this happens? Listen, Christ made it happen on the cross. What is there for us to do? Nothing. There's nothing for us to do but trust in the work of Christ that He has done. Trust and rest in the perfect work of Christ that perfects us. Now, the salvation of Christ accomplished for His people on the cross, how long will it last? How long is forever for? Forever. How long did the animal sacrifices, how long did those sacrifices last? They lasted till you committed the next sin, didn't they? But Christ has provided for us eternal forgiveness. Eternal. So that I don't know what sins I will commit tomorrow, but God does, and Christ has already paid for them on the cross. So that my salvation is perfected in Christ. It is complete in Christ. It is finished in Christ. It is accomplished in Christ. There is total forgiveness and complete security, perfected forever, permanent, complete righteousness by Christ. And that is why we use here at Lakeview to describe our salvation. We never use the word do or don't. We always use the word done. Done. My salvation is done in Christ on the cross. It's impeccable. Finally, the work of Christ on the cross is impeccable because it is the faithfulness of God to provide what God has promised. Whereof, of the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make. Here's the covenant. Here's what God said. I will make a covenant with them after those days, saith the Lord. And here's the covenant. Here's what He says. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. There's the covenant. Now, you have to understand the promises of God in the Old Testament had to seem like forever in coming to pass. I mean, think about the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices, the yearly Day of Atonement, the continual work of the Levitical priesthood. It was just a reminder, was it not, that God had not fulfilled His promises. Every time that the priest had to go behind the veil, it was another reminder, God has not fulfilled His promise. Say amen. God made this promise to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. And God's people had waited and waited and waited for the fulfillment of that promise. And finally, in Christ, this new covenant that God had promised has come to be. So what does God do? He puts His law in our hearts. Not on tablets. He puts them inside of us. He puts them on our hearts. He writes them in our minds. And before God does that, let me back up. What does it mean that God puts His laws in our hearts and on our minds? I think it means that what God does in regeneration is breathe life in us and give us a desire to obey, a desire to please God, a desire to follow God. All of those are put in our hearts and in our minds. A desire to love God with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind, all of our might, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And before God does that, I cannot obey God because I really don't have any desire to obey God. Say amen. I can't really follow Christ because before God does that, I don't have any desire to follow Christ. No matter how many animals I take down there and give to the priest and tell him to slice their neck. Now listen. I am not saying, so do not misunderstand me. I am not saying that those who are trusting in Christ can live any way they want to live. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that resting in Christ means that we can just live our lives as recklessly and sinfully as we want to. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that those who trust in Christ and not what they do or don't, right? We trust in Christ as the ground of our salvation, not what we do or don't do. It's not what we do, but what Christ has done for us. And when Christ died on the cross, He was fulfilling the promise of God given to Jeremiah back in Jeremiah 31 that He would put His law in our hearts and in our minds, and our sins He would remember no more. That's what happened when Christ died on the cross and we died with Him. That is what the death of Christ provides. A desire to obey. A desire to please God and sins that will never be remembered again by God. So when you are saved and you trust in the work of Christ on the cross, God puts in us a desire to walk with Him in righteousness and holiness, but He does not hold it against us when we fail. And we fail. He corrects us, but He doesn't hold it against us. How can He hold it against us when He doesn't even remember it? And do you know how hard it is for a God who knows all things to forget? He has to purposely decide to not remember. Verse 18. Where there is remission of these things, where there is remission of forgiveness, where there is the cleansing of the removal of sins, where there is this, there is no more offering for sin. The sacrifice of Christ is so impeccable and so perfect that nothing can be added to it, and all we are ever asked to do is to believe it. So, what should we do? We should rejoice. What's the application of this? Rejoice. Rejoice in what Christ has done for you. As your sacrificial substitute, what He has done on the cross is perfect, it is complete, it is finished, It is done, and it is forever. There are no degrees of justification. Christ has done it. And we rejoice in Him and in His impeccable accomplishment on the cross. And what do? We rest. We rest in Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. We pray that it would be a benefit to Your people's hearts, and God, that You would use it to strengthen them, encourage them, that what we have in Christ is greater than all the money in the world. What we have in Christ is perfect. What we have in Christ is complete. What we have in Christ is forever. So help us to rejoice in Christ and His work on the cross on our behalf. And we thank You for it. And we rest in it. And we look forward to its coming completion in glory. In Christ's name we pray, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.